We are on Chavzayin Amud Aleph. And let us just review a little bit so we should be able to know what we're talking about. We asked the contradiction in Shmuel. Shmuel said that Chalitza Psula works, meaning that even if the person did not have the option to do Yibum, but a Chalitza can work. And therefore, if three brothers die, right, so Reuben, one brother, can do Chalitza to all three. Because even though he can't do Yibum to the second one's wife or the third one's wife, but it doesn't make a difference. He did Chalitza, even though we call it a weaker Chalitza, we call it Chalitza Psula, it works. That's what Shmuel said. Because Shmuel is going like the Man Dominus says, Ein Zika, so the bond is not so strong rabbinically that we require a big, strong Chalitza. Even a weak Chalitza can remove the bond. The question was, it was a contradiction because Shmuel elsewhere said that you have to do the best Chalitza you can have. So even though we understand why Shmuel and the third one, where both brothers would have to do a Chalitza Psula, Shmuel holds the Chalitza Psula is adequate, but in brother number two, right, why should Reuven do Chalitza when Shimon can do a real Chalitza? And Shmuel said that whenever you have an option for two Chalitzas and one is better than the other, you have to pick the better one, and the weaker one won't work. Not because it's a Chalitza Psula, because Shmuel holds Chalitza Psula works. But Shmuel holds that the requirement of Chalitza rabbinically is that the best Chalitza be done. And therefore, since the best Chalitza be done, so I can understand why Reuven can do Chalitza to A and C, but to B, there's Shimon here who has the ability to do Yibum, so it's a stronger Chalitza. So why should Reuven do Chalitza to all three? That was the question we had. That even though you hold Chalitza Psula is good, that's only when both are Chalitza Psula, so one can do Chalitza Psula. You don't need both to do it like Rav said. But you need the best Chalitza put forward. And over here, you're not putting your best Chalitza forward.
Why?
Because Shimon could marry her. Right? The B died. Shimon could marry this woman. It's not a Chalitz Chalitza, right? Reuven already gave Chalitza to the other one. Shimon has the ability to do Yibum. So of the two, Shimon is the stronger one.
Does anyone hold the Chalitza Pesula? Can you hold that and hold Zakat or not?
The Gemara seems to say if you hold Yad Zika, Chalitza Pesula doesn't work. If you hold Ein Zika, Chalitza Pesula works. That's what the Gemara seems to say.
And the Bechor is not the best.
Not, that's not Ma'akib. You tried that last week. You asked me that, yes.
But, yeah, I didn't understand the answer.
The answer is that the Torah only said it as a preference. It's not a better Chalitza. Better Chalitza is because it's less of an Isser, or he could marry her. Bechor is a preference in who should do it. It doesn't make a better Chalitza. The act of Chalitza is not any stronger. In a case when you can marry her, the act of Chalitza is stronger. In a case when there's a weaker Isser, the act of Chalitza is stronger. And the Gemara's answer was that Eino Chinami. Shmuel agrees that Reuven cannot give Chalitza to all three. He can give Chalitza to one and three, but two has to be done by Shimon, which is the stronger Chalitza. The Gemara's problem says, it says Kulan. Shmuel used the word that he can be a Chalitza to all of them. And the Gemara answered, Kulan doesn't mean Kulan. Kulan means majority. Right? There is a Taz that says, that we say in davening, Maloich HaKala Olam Kulay B'Kvedecha. Why do we repeat Kala Olam Kulay? V'Kala, right? V'Kala HaRisha Kula B'Ashan Tichla. Kala HaRisha Kula. Double Lashem. Maloich HaKala Olam Kulay B'Kvedecha. Kal and Kulay. So the Taz says, because since we say Rubai Kulay, if you'd only say Kal once, it might mean Raiv. So by repeating it twice, whatever you guys, right? You're saying all. Oh, that's what the Taz says. So the Gemara is using this kind of svara. It says kulan, but it doesn't mean kulan. It really only means rubam. That's what the Gemara answered. We are up to Chavzayin Amud Aleph. Four lines from the top. Five lines? One, two, three, four. Five lines from the top. If you want, I can say, when does Shmuel say you need a Chalitza Ma'oya? Hanimili le Mifta Tzarasa. A Mifta Enafshu Patra. And it's a new understanding of Shmuel. What was the halacha of Shmuel that told us that you have to have the best chalitza? That was the halacha when two brothers died and they each had co-wives. A and B died, left over two sisters and two co-wives. So Shmuel said, chalitza should be given to the co-wives, not to the sisters, because that's a better chalitza. Which the Gemara will question, and at the end the Gemara will say, which is what Rashi explains right, yes, we already saw it on Friday, that it's a weaker iser. So we want to do the best chalitza. The Gemara's answer is that Shmuel only requires the best chalitza vis-a-vis pottering the other wife. There's a sister and a co-wife. So Shmuel says, you got to do your best chalitza in order to absolve both. But let's say you're only interested in absolving one woman, then I don't care if it's the best chalitza or not. So if Reuben and Shimon would die and only leave sisters and not leave co-wives, so the chalitza only has to be matter the woman that's receiving chalitza, does not have to be matter any other co-wife, then Shmuel doesn't care whether you give the best chalitza or not. The only time Shmuel cares that you give the best chalitza, the only time Shmuel cares if you give the best chalitza is if you're being matter two wives with that chalitza. So there Shmuel says, the Rabbanan obligated you to do your best chalitza because you're permitting not only the woman you're giving chalitza to, but her co-wife. So therefore we want the best one. So if you can give chalitza to the co-wife, don't give chalitza to the sister. But if you only have one wife here, and now the question is which brother should do the chalitza, one is stronger than the other, the Ibayas Amos says we don't care. Shmuel would never insist. Shmuel would never insist that we give the best chalitza. He'd be happy to say that even a weaker chalitza can work. So it's a different teretz. According to the second teretz, Shmuel holds that you can give a weak chalitza, even if you have the option of giving a stronger one. The only time we insist that the stronger chalitza be given is if this chalitza is not only permitting this woman, but permitting her co-wife as well. Then we say, give it to the stronger one, give the better one. If you give the weaker one, it won't absolve the co-wife. I hope I'm explaining myself. Am I clear?
What's the scenario where it would not work for the other one?
If you agree that A and B die, leave over sisters and co-wives. So now chalitza is going to be working for both the sister and the co-wife. So there Shmuel says, you must give chalitza to the co-wife, not to the sister. Because the co-wife is the stronger chalitza. And since this chalitza is not only going to permit the woman you gave chalitza to, but her co-wife as well, we want to give it to the stronger one rather than to the weaker one.
Is that because it's an
erva
there? Why
does
that?
Well, that one is achais zikkasai or chalutasai. One is achais chalutasai. Well, the Gemara is going to explain, but let's say achais zikkasai for now, for argument's sake now, right? And the other one is a tsaras achais zikkasai. It's a step further removed.
So
therefore, we want to give it to the one that's less.
That I understand. So, and the other scenario where
the other scenario was there's only sisters, and there's two brothers available. One who could do Yibum, one who can't do Yibum. But we're only talking about pottering this one woman. We're not talking about this chalitza working for any other woman besides the woman that's getting chalitza. Right? There were three brothers married to three sisters. A died. Reuben gave her chalitza. B died. Now, Reuben's chalitza is in a case that he can't do Yibum.
Wait, Reuben is the one who's not married?
Reuben and Shimon are the surviving brothers. A, B, and C are married to three sisters. Reuben, A dies. Reuben gives his wife chalitza. There's nothing wrong with that. Perfect chalitza. B died. At this point, Reuben can't do Yibum. Tachais chalutzasai. Shimon can do Yibum. Because he's not related to her at all. Shmuel would say, I don't care who does Yibum. We're only absolving this woman. It's not affecting any other woman. I don't have to do my best chalitza.
Why do you do this? Why do you have to do chalitza at all?
What do you mean? She's zakik midoraisa. Midoraisa, she's 100% zakik. There's no way it's zakik biblically.
And to which, and Zika doesn't, once one is done for one brother, it's just like a regular yivama.
Biblically, she's a regular yivama.
So a single chalitza releases her from any all
brothers. All brothers. Again, if this is a chalitza psula, because Shimon can do a better chalitza than Reuven can. But Shmuel doesn't care. The only time he cares is if the chalitza of one is going to absolve the whole household. Then he says, since it's going to work for two women, you must give it to the better one. But if it only works for the woman herself, this is the second eret. If it only works for the woman herself, I don't care if it's the better one or the weaker one.
Does he hold about this idea of psula?
Again, Shmuel said beferish, he doesn't hold the chalitza of psula. He said that. We had a contradiction in Shmuel. Because even though he said he doesn't hold the chalitza of psula, but he said you have to have the best one. So again, when it came to the third lady, we didn't have any problem. Shmuel said only one is necessary. Chalitza psula is good enough. But Shmuel also said, when you have an option of a better one, the third lady, they're both chalitza psulas. Right? So Rav said she needs chalitza from both brothers. Because it's both chalitza psulas. There is no option of a better chalitza.
And Rav doesn't hold that once one's released from one.
Rav doesn't talk about Shmuel's case. Rav is talking about, Rav and Shmuel are talking about different cases.
I understand. But in our case, where the three, the one surviving wife, sister. So Rav says that because there's Zika,
both brothers have to give chalitza, because weaker chalitza does not remove Zika. Shmuel argues, he holds a Zika, and he says a weaker chalitza is adequate.
Okay.
So now that's not a problem. The problem was Shmuel said that you, if you have a better option, you're obligated to use the better option. So the first answer we answered, you're right. Enochinami, when B dies, Shimon is the one that has to give chalitza because he is the better option. The second answer is, the only time we require a better option is when there's two women being released by this chalitza. So you must do your best option to release two women by one chalitza. But when you're only talking about releasing the woman herself, there's no co-wife. I don't care if you use your best option or not. So going to the second teretz, Reuben can do chalitza to all three. He does chalitza to the first one, that's perfect. He does chalitza to the third one, that's perfect, because chalitza psula works. The second one, there's a better option, but we don't care. We're only releasing one woman, the woman that's getting chalitza. And in this teretz we're saying, Shmuel says, if you release the woman that gets chalitza only, I don't need the best option. When did I insist that you do the best option? Is when one chalitza is going to be matur two. So we want you to use the best option. But if your one chalitza is only giving you matter one, you can use a weaker chalitza, it doesn't bother me. So according to the second teretz, kulam means kulam. That's to get rid of the tzara, the co-wife. Of a mifter and nafsha, patra. But the patra herself, that is good enough. Rashi. Any chalitza can get rid of this woman herself. When there's no co-wives, one can do chalitza to all three. Okay, fine. Now, the next Gemara does not know what we explained till now. When I learned this Gemara, again going back to Shmuel's statement, her two brothers died. They left over sisters and co-wives. So we explained that if you do chalitza, and Shmuel said, if you do chalitza to the sisters, it doesn't absolve the co-wives. If you do chalitza to the co-wives, it absolves the sisters.
Why doesn't it absolve the co-wives? Why doesn't it absolve the co-wives?
Because you can do a better chalitza. And whenever you can do a better chalitza, remember, to absolve two women, you have to do your best chalitza. If you do your weaker chalitza, it'll work for this woman, and it won't work for the other woman. Mm-hmm. Now, the question here is, and we addressed it, but the Gemara is now going to jump all over it. Why is one better than the other? You're not allowed to do Yibum to the sister, and you're not allowed to do Yibum to the co-wife. They're both Aser Teyibum. One is a Chayzik Kukasai, and one is the Tzara of a Chayzik Kukasai.
Still a step removed.
That's going to be the final Gemara's answer. But at the beginning, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do Yibum to either. Why are they different?
Somebody asked that in class.
Right. Rashi.
No.
Rashi asked it. And Rashi answered that, like Dr. Harris just said, the one is a step removed. The Gemara doesn't know that yet. Rashi knew the end of the Gemara. He cheated. He told you the end of the Gemara at the beginning. But the Gemara now looks at it and says to us, they're both equally not eligible. Why is one better than the other?
Why is it a step removed?
Because the reason that Sarah is Aser is because she's a co-wife of an Achayzik Kukasai.
By the right...
I'm going to use an analogy, you're going to jump all over me, but I'll use it anyway, and that is, if you let me talk, she's like a Sheini Latuma. She, like, touches the region which touched the Av. She is the Tzara of a sister of a Zekuka. But the right, she can marry everybody. But the right, there's no Isra Chayzik Kukasai. It's only rabbinic.
But in Deraisa, we don't say that, meaning the same issue would
that's
be
because the Torah revealed to me Lisra.
Right.
But that's a Deraisa. Here it's a Drabbanan.
Oh, so maybe the Rabbanan didn't...
It's not the same level. That's what the Rashi says at the beginning. That's what Rashi said. And that's because Rashi knew the end of the Gemara. But the Gemara here now is going to approach it without knowing the end of the Gemara. And the Gemara is going to want to know, why is one better than the other? Shmuel is saying that the co-wife is better than the sister. Why is that true? That's what's bothering the Gemara. Gufa, Amr Shmuel, Chalos le'achyais, lo niftru tzaris. Give chalitza to the sisters, it does not absolve the co-wife. Le'tzaris, niftru achyais. Now, he also said two other halachas. So once we're bringing Shmuel, we only brought one part of Shmuel so far. Now we're going to bring the rest of Shmuel. Ready? Here it goes. Cholos lebalas haget, loy nifter etzara. Letzara, nifter abalas haget. Okay. What happened is as follows. Biblically speaking...
Case?
I'm sorry, a different case. Biblically speaking, a person does chalitza or yibum, came along to Rabbanon and introduced that a person can do kedushin, rabbinic, mimer, we had it earlier, before he does yibum. And to give get, if he wants to, before he does chalitza. Now by giving a get, he rabbinically bans yibum. That's what he has done. He, by writing a get, which is rabbinic, there's no divorce biblically by a Yavama. But by writing this rabbinic get, what he does is, he makes it impossible for anybody to do Yibum. So let's say a brother dies, and he leaves over three brothers, and one brother decides that he doesn't want anybody to do Yibum. So he quickly writes the Yavama get, which bans the other brothers from doing Yibum. Bans everybody from doing Yibum. What?
Why does it just do chalitza? Because she has to
agree to chalitza. He can write her a get without her knowledge. He writes a get, hands it a get, in front of two Adam signs a get, he gives it to the Yavama, no Yibum allowed, rabbinically.
Why would the Rabbanan do that?
Because when we learn this will come clear. This is something that will be clarified as we go along. So now what happened was, there's two Yavamas. Guy died. I don't want to use names because the Gemara uses survival. Let's say Reuven dies. And he left over two Yavamas. And Shimon went and gave a get to one of them. Now he has to do chalitza. We say, don't do chalitza to the one that got the get. Because you can't, she got a get. So her zika is quote-unquote weakened. Do chalitza to the one that didn't get the get. Because that's a stronger chalitza. Because since it wasn't weakened by reception, even though she's affected by the get as well, but she didn't receive the get. So of the two, the stronger chalitza is the one that didn't get a get.
So it doesn't affect the
Rabbi?
Well, there, it does affect the tzar in the fact that Yibum is not allowed. But it's a weaker iser, again.
The other one can't get Yibum either?
Right. Once you give a get to one, nobody can get Yibum.
Rabbi?
Let me just finish. But you can't do Yibum. Let me just read it inside. Chalutz lebalas haget, loy niftur etzara. Letzara, niftur balas haget. Yes, Harvey.
I must have missed a major step here. Have we already discussed what this rabbinic get is and how it affects all of this? Like the, a normal biblical get, if our normal gets are biblical, is an agreement of her support upon the dissolution of a marriage, and she has to accept it. What is this, and what is the brother's? What does this even say? And have we already discussed how it affects Yavama?
We have not. This is the first time we mentioned it. And maybe I should spend a few more moments on this. First of all,
what
biblical get does not need her agreement to anything. Biblically speaking, a husband can write a divorce and throw it into his wife's hand, and she is divorced, as long as witnesses are watching. A get does not need agreement of a woman. Today, based on a Chayim Rabbeinu Gershon, we don't allow a husband to divorce his wife without her agreeing to accept it. But before Chayim Rabbeinu Gershon, which was in the 900s or 1100 years ago, a husband could divorce his wife without her agreeing to accept the get. Now, that's the biblical get, and a biblical get is written from a husband to a wife and only affects that wife and doesn't affect any other wife that the man might have. So if a guy's married to two wives and he divorces one, he doesn't need the divorcee's agreement to accept the get. It has no financial commitments in it. A get is a bill of divorce that has zero financial responsibilities. Those financial responsibilities come from her ksubah, which he pulls out and demands whatever agreement he gave that he would give her at the time of divorce, which is written in the ksubah. She pulls out the ksubah and she gets the money. But get is not financial. It has no financial side to it. It doesn't need the woman's agreement. That's a biblical get given from husband to wife. It releases her to marry somebody else except the Kayan. Now, a rabbinic get is here where you have a Yavama, and there's no institution of get in the Torah from a Yavam to a Yavama. There is no such institution. Came along Drabanan and Misakin the get. Why? As we go through the Masechta, we'll see why. But they were Masechta in a concept that one of the brothers can write a get to one of the Yavamas, if they're co-wives, and that would ban the act of Yibum rabbinically. So what happens is, rabbinically, by giving her a get, two things have happened. Number one is Yibum is off the table. From all brothers to all wives, Yibum becomes off the table. But it also, we say, rabbinically, weakens the bond between the woman who receives the get and the brothers. Because the bottom line is, she was already severed a little bit rabbinically. There was already a severance of that relationship rabbinically. So therefore, of the two wives, she's the weaker bond to the other. Because rabbinically, not biblically, biblically she's the same bond. But rabbinically, that bond has been weakened. And since that bond has been weakened rabbinically, when given a choice which woman should get chalitza to absolve both, Shmuel says, give it to the one whose bond hasn't been severed at all. And therefore, can I finish? Of the two, one has a weaker bond and one has a stronger bond. Rabbinically, again, biblically, nothing has been affected. But rabbinically, the one who received the get, even though that get affects everybody, but the one who received the get has a weaker bond. She received the get. And therefore, given the fact that you always, when there are two women involved and you want one chalitza to work for both, you need your stronger chalitza. So Shmuel says, give chalitza to the one who didn't receive the get, not to the one who received the get. If you give it to the one who received the get, it won't work for the other co-wife. If you give it to the one who didn't receive the get, it'll work for both. Yes, Dr. Harris.
Why can't you be Yabim then?
Rabbinically, you can't. It's rabbinic.
This get not to really show.
No, absolutely not. It has no biblical overtones. It's a total rabbinic invention.
Why would the rabbinim permit this kind of rabbinic invention?
Sorry, what? I'm sorry.
When you gave get to?
Yes. The get is a waste of paper. According to Midoraisa, if you write a get to Yavama, you might have written, you might have as well written a shopping list. It does the same effect.
Did Dr. Harris ask what was the purpose of it?
Yes.
What was the answer?
That we'll see as the Gemara goes along. Harvey, yes.
So I'm still trying to catch up. First, you're right. I completely conflated Kasuba with get. I apologize. But secondly, Yavamas is deraisa. How can it affect a biblical requirement? How can it?
Because there's no such option, min ha-taira. A Yavama is not eligible for a get. The Torah never wrote the get for this kind of a woman. The Torah never instituted it. Can't divorce your Yavama unless you marry her first. She's not your wife. The Torah only allowed for Chalitza. Came along to Rabbanan and invented a rabbinic divorce that only accomplishes the fact that no more Yibum is allowed. It doesn't permit her to get married. It has no biblical effect.
This is a rabbinic solution to a rabbinic problem. It's something like
it's
that.
It's not a solution. It's a rabbinic partial solution. Meaning, basically, it's an the reason they did it, we're going to see as we go along in the Gemara, not here, throughout the Masechta. But basically, what a get does is, it says, no more Yibum will be used here, rabbinically. It eliminates possibility of Yibum and forces Chalitza.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Corey.
Two questions. A man that went to war, right, sometimes would write his wife a get in case he didn't come back.
That's a conditional get, biblically. It's his wife.
Yeah. So, here there's no condition in it, so that's why it's not comparable to that?
No, it's not comparable because there's no institution of get to Yavama. It's not. Yes. I just want to apologize. People shouldn't think I'm sick. Every morning I get up for the first half an hour or 45 minutes and I'm up, I have this. Except this morning I overslept, so I'm still not where I'm supposed to be. Usually I get up earlier and I'm finished by the time I get here. I'm running late, so people shouldn't think I really have a cold. I don't have a cold. Yes. I think it's an allergy.
Isn't it a dangerous thing that one person, I mean, you could have four brothers, you could have three wives, and this one piece of paper makes things usher for people that may not even know that it was given?
Well, you know, listen, what you don't know can't hurt you, but what happens is this thing is rather public. It needs an aid them, it needs to be written, it's a formal get. It's not like I am divorcing you and you throw it at her, no.
I understand, but I'm saying that, I mean, you could have the co-wife be living in a different city.
This is every problem in anything. You could have Yibum and Chalitza the same way. I mean, I don't know why you're more worried about the get than you are about Yibum or Chalitza. She checks her WhatsApp. She'll find out what's doing.
Am I written?
Yes.
When one woman gets, there's a mama and then there's a get.
We haven't talked about Mimer yet. We talked about Get. We'll talk about Mimer in a moment.
Are we talking about Mimer? In other words, Get only works because of Mimer.
No, I'm not talking about Mimer.
Okay,
we'll get to Mimer in a moment.
A person does Chalitza on one wife, and there's a second wife involved.
Automatically,
two Yavamas fall to a man. A man was married to two sisters, and the brother ended up having to marry one of them or do Yibum.
Well,
so are they both lost. Considered? Can they
I
both? You don't marry a coin anymore.
I don't understand your case. A man cannot be married to two sisters.
I'm sorry. A man that has two wives and his brother, and he dies, and now the brother has to do Yibum or Chalitza.
Chalitza to one of them and that absolves both.
Can either one marry a Kohen?
Lost you. Meaning, if he gives Chalitza to one, can the other one marry a Kohen?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? She's an Amana. She's a widow.
No, the Chalitza doesn't affect her.
It permits her to get married.
Yeah.
It doesn't become a Chalitza. She is not a Chalitza, which is a rabbinic issue anyway. She's a widow.
Okay.
Meaning, if the Rabbanu wanted to, they could have said that both are Chalitzas, but they didn't.
But the Chalitza, but being that the other one became a Chalitza, she can't marry a Kohen, right?
Correct. Correct.
But it didn't affect the second one, even though there's a Chalitza involved.
Correct.
That was the cause of allowing her to marry somebody else, was Chalitza of her co-sister, her co-wife. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Now, if he gives her a rabbinic get, she also can't marry a Kohen anymore.
Right.
Because she's now a rabbinic divorcee. So let's go back to the Gemara. Cholitz lebalas haget, loy niftur etzara. This is Shmuel's halacha, that to absolve two women, you have to give your strongest one. If you give the weaker one, it'll only work for that woman, not for the other one. Letzara niftur lebalas haget, Rashi. Lebalas haget. Beis yivamas ma'ach echad, two yivamas with one brother. V'nasa yavim get la'achas mehem, and he gave a get to one of them. Shuv ein chalitza so hegenes kolkach. Her chalitza is not so good. The klish is dikasa. Her bond has been weakened, rabbinically. The mcholot long on niftar etzara. Now the chalitza will work for her, but won't work for etzara, because the tzara's bond has not been weakened. Even though you can't do yibum to the tzara now either, but it hasn't been directly weakened. Next case. Cholos lebalos hamaymer leniftu etzara. Letzara leniftu lebalos hamaymer. Okay, now let me explain this halakha. I'm going to need a few minutes to try to explain this, and then we will see how the Gemara applies it. Just like we just mentioned that the Rabbanan instituted a rabbinic get by Yavama, they also instituted a rabbinic kedushin, which means Reuben dies and leaves over three wives. And he has three brothers. Shimon quickly goes and does a mimer to one of those women. Shimon is one of the brothers who are left, and he quickly goes and does a mimer to one of Reuben's remaining amanas. Reuben left three wives. Shimon runs, gets to Adam, gets a ring, walks over to her and says, I want to do mimer, and he does mimer. Biblically, nothing has happened. Biblically, there's only Yibum or Chalitza. But by doing mimer, he has done two things. A, no other brother can get involved. He's first, he did mimer. And B, no other Yavama can be involved. This is the one mimer was done to. Everybody else is out of the way. All rabbinic.
Free to marry.
No. They're not free to marry because biblically they're bound. But they are not no more the ones, at this point, that can have Yibum. Because he did mimer to one.
It's a pre-Yibum
rabbinically. It's not necessary. Now, he did mimer to one and then decided that he wants to do Chalitza.
To the same?
So now that's the question here. He wants to do Chalitza. He did mimer to one. He wants to do Chalitza. The right way of doing it is to write the one he gave a mimer to a get. The rabbinic get will remove the rabbinic mimer. If he doesn't do that, and he goes and gives her Chalitza, it works biblically, but rabbinically she still needs a get. Since he did a mimer, by doing this mimer, he has made a rabbinic bond to her, which has to be removed by rabbinic get. So now, if he runs and does chalitza to her now, without having written the get, right, then we say, you still have to give her a get. because you have a mimer. The chalitza does not remove the mimer. The mimer was a rabbinic bond that needs to be removed by rabbinic get. Now, again, can I finish? Let me just finish, please. So again, this is a little bit complicated, so I want to get this straight. Reuben died, left two wives. Shimon went and did mimer to one. If he decides to give chalitza, and he wants to give chalitza to the one he did mimer, he has to first give her a get, and then do chalitza. If he does chalitza first, he still has to give her a get, but it's worse than that. It's a weaker chalitza, and doesn't work for the co-wife, because he gave chalitza to a woman that he had a bond to that he did not remove yet. Whereas if he gives chalitza to the co-wife, he removes all need for chalitza, still has to give a get to the one he gave a mimer to, but she's free because he gave chalitza to the co-wife. So again, Reuben died, left two women, Rachel and Leah. Shimon did a mimer to Rachel. If he goes to a rabbi now and he says, I changed my mind, I want to give chalitza, the rabbi says, you have two options now. You can give a get to Rachel for your mimer, and then you can pick whatever one you want to give chalitza to. Or you can give chalitza to Leah and then give a get to Rachel. But you can't give chalitza to Rachel before you give her a get, because that won't work for Leah, because it's a weaker chalitza due to the fact that the mimer is still there. So again, if you give chalitza to the balas ha-mimer, it won't work for the other woman. If you give chalitza to the other woman, it'll work for the balas ha-mimer. You still have to give her a get rabbinically. She's free to get married, biblically. She doesn't need chalitza anymore. If you give chalitza to Rachel, Leah still needs chalitza. Rachel's chalitza won't help for Leah. Because of the two, you're bound to Rachel, but you don't have to Leah. So Leah's the stronger chalitza. To absolve both, you have to give chalitza to Leah, not to Rachel. I hope I'm explaining myself.
Doesn't it make it, if you did mimer, doesn't it make it a stronger kedushin?
It makes it a separate rabbinic bond.
A better one.
A stronger one.
It's not because the chalitza is weaker, it's because the stronger bond.
No, because you have to remove that with a get, and unless you do, you're still bound to her. The chalitza becomes a weaker thing. It's not as effective. You still need a get. Chalitza will not remove the mimer. You need a get. So chalitza will not sever the relationship totally. You still need a get.
Is Kaina Zika?
Kaina Zika.
He's making a biblical Zika here.
A rabbinic Zika. Correct. A stronger Zika. We call it Zika because I'll call it mimer. Yes, Rabbi Schutz.
If they get one of them, you can no longer do the chalitza, but that one won't practice the sun.
Smash me that way from Rashi. I'll read Rashi. It seems that way from Rashi. But I think if he does mimer and a get, the get just removes mimer and she's back to. Maybe not. Maybe, I mean, logically it makes sense, but Rashi's not mash me that way. That's why I didn't do that.
Mimer
passes the other one and the get does. Right. But we'll read Rashi. Rashi seems that way. Yes, Corey.
Once he gives mimer to one, the other ones are no longer eligible for yibum. So
correct.
Why isn't that called a chalitza psula?
Again, chalitza psula doesn't bother Shmuel, but it's not as weak as the other one. Meaning, remember, Shmuel says, I don't care if it's weak, I just want the strongest available.
Why is this option?
Because the other one has no extra bond than this one does. You've removed the option of Yibum, but it's not a stronger bond. Whereas Mimer has created a stronger bond.
Don't we have a rule that says that it's stronger? Don't we have a rule that if you have somebody that's eligible for Yibum versus somebody that's not eligible?
Yeah, but here both aren't eligible for Yibum.
No, but the
here both are not eligible for Yibum.
The Mimer one is eligible for Yibum.
Yeah, but you want to give Chalitza. But it's a stronger bond. It doesn't sever the bond. Rashi.
Look,
I've got to read Rashi because Rashi be so enlightening. Chalitz Labalas Mimer. Zuck Rashi. Asa Mimer Ba'achas Min Sheyachiv. He did Mimer and one of his brother's wives, Hames. that died. V'yaka cholitzla, loy niftur tzara. Zok Rashi. She chalitza zu ein epateres legamri. But this chalitza won't absolve her completely. Shadayin tzricha get l'mamara. She'll still need a get. K'ditnan b'perik of Gamliel. Asa maimer b'cholat. The Mishnah says in the fifth perik, if you do maimer and then give chalitza, tzricha then a get. Even though you gave her the get after the chalitza, it works. Because the ma'isa, you severed all relationship. It won't work for the co-wife. Because when you gave the chalitza, you had a stronger bond to this woman. If you give it to the other one, the chalitza is 100% effective. You still have to give a get to the one you had a maimer from. But as far as chalitza is concerned, you gave your strongest chalitza. You see where I'm dying in Rashi? You don't see it. Because Rashi says that the reason Shadayin Tzricha get l'mamorai. Rashi says, Ein the pateres legamri, Shadayin Tzricha get l'mamorai. What would if he gave that get already? Rashi says the reason it's not a stronger chalitza is because she still needs a get. What if he did a mimer and then a get? Ain't a pateras legamri shadayin tzricha get l'mamarei. According to you, it's not because shadayin tzricha get. Ain't a
pateras herself, not the other one.
And let's say it would pater her again. Rashi is telling you why, if you make chalitza in her, it's not as good as making chalitza in the other. Right?
Well, after a get, it would be fine.
What Rabbi Schutz is claiming is if you give a get to one, you can't give chalitza to that one. You have to give chalitza to the other one. So if you give a mimer and a get, you could give chalitza to that one? We had the first case. You gave a get to one.
Hey, Shmuel didn't see that.
Yes, he did. Us, the first case. Chalitz lebalas haget, loy niftur
et tzara. But that doesn't mean, maybe that's without the...
There was no mimer. He gave one a get.
Oh, get without a mimer. Oh.
So then he gives chalitza to the other one. Now he did mimer one, he gives chalitza to the other one. How about if he did mimer and get?
Is that the same as the balas haget?
That's the shaylus. Rabbi Schultz said it should be, which I agree logically. But from Rashi's mashma, that the problem is because he gave maimer and didn't give a get yet. Mashma, if he gave maimer and get, it would even the playing field. But I don't know, you might be right. 100%, logically, you're 100% right. That's what I would have said. But Rashi seems to stress the fact that she still needs a get.
The one who received the maimer still
because
there was a maimer that
it
needs a get.
Maybe. I have to look it up. I hear what you're saying. Logically, it makes sense. I don't know. I hear. I just Rashi's words are. The bottom line is, in all three cases, Saras and sisters and their co-wives, Balas Haget and co-wife, Balas HaMaimer and co-wife, Shmuel's saying to get rid of both of them with one act of chalitza, you must put your strongest foot forward. Pun. Because he has to put his front foot forward. He has to give chalitza to the one who's strongest. If both are weak, one works for both. If one is stronger, that's the one you have to do to pater both of them. To pater the woman herself, you can do the weaker chalitza. But if you want to pater two, the only way to pater two is to give your strongest chalitza.
And you give the chalitza to the second one. Now again, what about the mimer lady? If you get to her still?
A get has to be given to remove the mimer, correct. That's going to have to be given regardless.
I have this one quick question. What does the mimer do to make it a greater zika?
I hate to use the word greater zika. Greater bond.
Stronger
bond.
Okay, what does it do?
It's a rabbinic institution.
He has to give her a ksuba?
No.
What does he give me a practical nafkamina?
That nobody else can do yibum to any other woman. That she is designated for yibum and no one else is. And no other brother can get involved. He's basically removed all the brothers out of the picture.
If he would have miyabim the lady, the same thing would have happened.
Again, he didn't have a chance to do yibum. Yibum has to be done in a private room, right? He wants to make sure that none of his brothers are going to persuade her that she should do yibum with them. So he quickly goes and gives her a mimer in the middle of Walmart in front of two Adam, and he says, "Here, can I give you a maimer?" And she says, "Sure." It's a shaila if you need balkarkar midaito. We had a machlekas earlier, whether she has to agree to the maimer. We had that machlekas earlier, if you remember, in the second parak. And he gives her a maimer, and what he's done is, he has eliminated any brother out of the picture. He's the only one that can do yibum only to her. The maila is, he now gets to decide. He wants the yarshin. The brother was a millionaire. The deceased brother is a millionaire. Whoever does yibum is going to walk away with $1 million.
Okay, in this case?
And this guy wants to do one to be yibum, but he's afraid his brothers will go first. So he meets her in Walmart, and they're two yidden shopping for Shabbos. He says, "Come over here." He quickly takes out a ring, and he says, the nusach, whatever he has to say, she sticks out her finger, she accepts the ring, and from now on, all the brothers can scream all they want. He is the only one that can do yibum to her. And no other woman can be involved, and no other man can be involved, and he's entitled now to $1 million if he decides to go on. Then he hears that she's a terrible woman, that she eats her husband out of house and home. So he decides he wants to give chalitza. Okay, he's eliminated all brothers. They're out. Now he has to get rid of his maimer and of the thing. So he has to give a get and then chalitza. Now, if he has a choice of giving chalitza to her and somebody else, the chalitza should be given to somebody else. That's what Shmuel is saying.
I still don't understand how anybody else would be eligible to get the chalitza. We just said that she's the only one.
Because it's only rabbinic.
Even though it's only rabbinic, it's still, I mean, how do we know that the rabbis didn't say?
This is what the Gemara says. I don't make him up. This is what the Gemara said.
If he gives her get after Mimer, that chalitza now is just a regular chalitza.
I was talking about Rabbi Schutz. I'm not clear on that.
It's considered a regular chalitza.
Right, because he removed the Mimer. That's what Archko says?
Yeah, he doesn't say why. He says effectively it's not considered inferior anymore.
That's what I thought Rashi would say. Who's he quote for that? Rashi?
Nachum, Rashi, and the Rashash explains Rashi this way.
Because what happens is he's evened the playing field. He's removed the effect of the mimer by giving a get. And it's not a get by itself. It was a get to remove a mimer.
The order doesn't mean a matter, right?
Well, the order matters. You can't give a get before you give a mimer.
No, I meant the chalitza to the other lady.
Right. It should be before the get. Correct.
It has to be before the get?
No, it can be after or before.
If he gives the get first, he still could give the chalitza to any one of them?
That's what the Rashash is medayik and Rashi. That's what I was medayik and Rashi as well. That by doing a mimer and then a get, you removed everything. It's as if nothing happened.
At that point, any of the brothers can give chalitza?
Oh, that's not true.
That seems that way.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Rebbe. Did he give chalitza to that lady?
Again, in the Gemara and Rashi, you can learn. See, this is where it can get complicated. I was going to try to avoid it. Yeah, according to the way Rashi learns Rashi, yes.
Whoa, that's a big
difference. That's what Rabbi Schutz was arguing on before.
He was saying you can't?
He was saying you can't. And I was saying yes from the way I learned Rashi, which, according to art school, the Rashi learns Rashi that way as well. Okay, we will continue tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day. The Levaya is 10:30 in...
Is there a link to...
There's a Zoom link also. The Levaya is 10:30 in the tent in Shemir Shabbos.
I'm going to get the link.
Harvey, are you on?
I am.
Okay, I know if you know, Jeff's gross lost his wife.
Oh.
And the funeral is this morning, 10:30 in the Shemir Shabbos tent, but there's a Zoom link. If you want to, you wanted to know if you want to be Menachem Avraham, I'll be sitting Shiva the rest of the week.
Thank you for letting me know.